Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live on the Fight Mixer Show.
Perfect.
Hi, everybody. We got Sam Shoemaker here. He's known for his pretty knockouts, square camp, and from my neck of the woods, kind of. I'm more city slicker than he is. But what's up, Sam? How are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. Where are you at right now? Are you in Missouri?
Yes, I'm in Missouri as of right now.
Are you in Columbia?
No, Lake of the Ozarks.
Oh, okay. That way, though. Either way, I'm in the city. I'm city flicking, but I'm from like north suburbs of Chicago. But I like your neck of the woods. He's from Columbia, Missouri. What are you doing out there? Are you just relaxing at home? Is there a certain gym that you're based on at your hometown?
Yeah, I actually just now got done training, got home, took a quick shower, and able to hop on here with you guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, we're excited. I know Matt's excited. He's throwing around your videos earlier. Like, look at this. Tell us a little bit what you're up to. Anything new that some of your fans maybe don't know? Something new, and we'll go back to some of your fight record.
Just grinding it out. Just really trying to get in the best shape that we possibly can. You know, we're fighting for a world title. It's a huge deal for us, and it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And we're just, we're going to leave it all out there in the ring. So we're trying to get in the best shape possible and knock somebody's head off.
So you got a title fight coming up. Is this your first title fight or?
This is actually my second title fight. So it's like, a second chance.
But the first time your UKFC debut was with the knockout of the champion. So it was pretty.
Yeah.
Did you feel confident right from the get-go on that one, or is that something that surprised you, just making your debut? Like, people don't make debuts like that. People don't get a lot of knockouts even in their career, let alone knocking out a champion the first time they step foot into the BKFC ring. How'd you feel about that one? Going all the way back to it?
Just felt really good. Had really put in a real good training camp for that one. Prepared really well and wanted to make a statement going out there. And knew that we had a tough opponent and that we had to, be in the best shape possible to take care of business when we got out there. And that's exactly what we did.
And you're not really doing anything different based on your camps for opponent, or are you changing that for the opponent, or are you just doing what you normally do and that's what makes you feel confident?
We always add a little bit more into, especially when the stakes are higher, like they are right now. So we're just trying to grind as hard as we can, training twice a day, just putting in that work that we sometimes in the past weren't able to do. Luckily, we're able to have sponsors that are able to take care of us, so we're able to not have to work that 9-to-5 and able to train, full time to really make a run at this title shot.
Yeah, so Joey Beltran is who you're fighting in May, correct?
Yeah, Joey Beltran, the champion.
Yeah, so what are you doing for that fight in particular? Are you working on anything particular? Or?
We want your secrets.
I know you don't want to give away too much.
Beltran's a tough guy. He grinds out fights. He gets in there, and he really, he just grinds people down. So the biggest thing for us is just our endurance. Technically, we're a better fighter. Power-wise, we blow him out of the water. So the only thing that he has above us would be endurance, and he's a very tough guy, so we're not counting him out. But if we get in great shape, there's no way that we can lose to this guy.
I'd say we got a question up here. Do you picture this fight being a brawl or technical battle?
I, I see it being a brawl. I see he's going to come out to fight, and you know, we're going to give the fans the fight they want to see. There's going to be blood, and there's going to be somebody knocked out cold by the end of this fight, and I don't see it being me.
I say you got fans already lighting up our
our
page right now, so
a lot of team shoes out here.
Yeah, normally it's not too active right at the very beginning. It takes a second for people that people.
Yeah, right off the bat. So when I was looking you up, I seen that you had a few matches that got canceled. Was that due to COVID, or the guys like pulled out at the last minute, or?
You were cutting in and out.
Cutting out. When I looked you up, I seen that you had some canceled bouts, like three of them. Like, was that due to COVID, or did you just have some guys that just changed their mind?
All three of them were COVID. One of them, the COVID shut the whole event down. Another one, my opponent had COVID. And then on another one, I had COVID.
Oh, shit.
So it's been a messed up year. You know, the COVID really didn't affect us. You know, we just had some cold chills and, you know, a hard time sleeping one night. Other than that, we were good. So we wanted to perform, but, you know, you'd have to get cleared by a doctor. And when we went to get tested, we knew that we had it and came up with a positive test, and we weren't able to fight. So it was a real bum deal. In that fight, I was supposed to fight Josh Burns, and I really regret not being able to because, you know, he likes to talk shit and run his mouth. And I really look forward to the day I get to fight.
Those are the best opponents.
Yeah.
Was it a struggle? Were you constantly having your camp at home, or were you having to travel to other gyms, and was the COVID kind of messing around with that, or did it kind of kept you secluded over there?
No, my camp for that fight was at home, but a month and a half, I think, before the fight, I went out to Colorado on an elk hunting trip as well, and I think that's where we ended up getting it, actually.
Yeah, traveling, stuff like that, to the bigger. I don't know, Ozark, you deal in the fight. I don't know how Columbia was through the COVID. I don't know how bad it got out there. I know St. Louis has been kind of up and down. It's still kind of shut down. Has it affected your training at all?
No. Nope. We're full steam ahead. Where we're at, you know, there's no mask mandates, and life is pretty well normal. So.
Nice. You're so lucky.
Magically, COVID numbers go through the roof, and the flu numbers bottom out. I don't know what
happened. It's weird how
that works. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Well, that's like where I work. My first like 2 weeks there, everybody got COVID except for me. I got tested, and they're like, "You have influenza B." I was like, "What the fuck?"
They got COVID.
They're meant to fight them.
So. Yeah, there's a lot of people that missed a lot of work saying they had COVID.
Yeah.
So where did you find yourself trying to get into the BKFC and wanting to come over on that side instead of professional boxing?
You know, it just excited me, you know, to see the old but new sport, you know, come back to American soil. And, you know, there's nothing rawer than getting out there and fighting somebody bare knuckle. You know, I grew up doing a lot of that. And, you know, I just wanted to be a part of it, the groundbreaking of that. And then, you know, hopefully be, you know, in the future when people look back, they go, man, Sam Schumacher was one of the elite fighters in bare knuckle when it came back.
Yeah, and you're kind of paving the way, which is really cool. I think a lot of people were really impressed with you going. But was it the first four straight that you were part of?
Yeah, the first four. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. First five of them.
Perfect. That's all. You really dug your name in there. And too, that's probably also probably took over a lot of the hearts of the fans through that. Because I think it's one, not only bare knuckle is so exciting to watch, but I think it takes so much heart to even step in that ring. I think we'd all dream about it, but only a few of us like you actually get in there and do that. And then knock a fucking tear out, 18 seconds into the round. So that was a nice one. Were you doing anything different as a professional boxer? How many matches did you have as a professional before you came over to BKFC?
Three.
I had three professional boxing matches before we were able to get into the squared circle and fight bare knuckle.
And what about amateur beforehand?
I had 51 amateur boxing matches.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that part. Okay. That's what I'm trying to dig on your amateur history and see how much you had before you came over to the pro side. Did you want to come over for money? Were you having fun as an amateur?
You kind of cut out, but did you ask about Golden Gloves?
No. I was wondering, we can go in there, all of it. I was wondering what made you decide from 55, then that's where you called it to come over to a pro. What made you call it then to make the decision to come over to a pro side from amateur?
The whole time you were cutting in and out on that.
No.
She asked. Callie, I don't know if you can hear me, but she asked, you know, what was it that, you know, what it was it, and when did you decide that it was time to go over from amateur to pro?
You know, we fought on and off amateur boxing since I was 17, and then I ended up turning, I was like 31, 32, still had all the fire and the drive, and, you know, I'd gotten married, we'd had three kids, settled down, bought a house, you know, doing the normal life stuff, and I just felt like I was going to regret the rest of my life if I didn't try to do this and make a little bit of money, you know. So we just, me and my wife came up with a 5-year plan, and just, you know, so far we've stuck to it. And I think by the end of 2022, we're supposed to set back and revise, you know, look at what we're doing and how we're doing, and if I need to continue or if I want to retire and, you know, stay a part of the fight game, maybe become a ref or a commentator or something else. I'd love to still be a part of the organization, but maybe not so much as the competitor side of it.
Okay. One question I have. So there's a lot of athletes coming in from boxing and MMA. Is there any kind of like clicks with the bare knuckle crowd of like the ones that just been bare knuckle, been there the whole time, accepting in these athletes that are MMA and boxing, thinking, oh, well, this is just fighting without gloves?
Is there an opinion about it?
Is there like clicks kind of like, are you guys welcoming to some of these athletes that come from boxing or MMA, or do you guys kind of feel like they don't know what they're getting themselves into? It's not the same thing. It's just, they think it's just no gloves.
It's definitely different. You know, it's a different feel. There's a little bit different in the distance because you don't have the padding of the glove that, you know, might be a 1/2 inch or 3/4 inch, but that's still, it makes a difference in the distance in fighting. We really accept everybody with open arms, you know, and try to help people, adapt and adjust to it. It's been a great time meeting all these new fighters and the different fighters, the Muay Thai, the MMA, the boxing, you know. It's great to see all these different combatants come together and to compete in bare knuckle.
Do you think that's helping the full bare knuckle is getting some diversity, these Muay Thai backgrounds and all this all coming together?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's great for the sport to have all types, you know, just like when MMA started, there was so many different styles that wanted to try it out, you know, and to dominate and to be the top, I guess you'd say, type of fighting, you know, who's going to rule the roost. Is it going to be boxing? Is it going to be MMA? Is it going to be kickboxing, Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu? Obviously really don't help you out much in the bare knuckle.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change your game plan, your camp at all, depending on the style of fighter? You just do what you normally do and you stick to what works for you?
You know, it does change a little bit because, I mean, if you've watched my fights, I don't fight the same every time. We change a little bit of the game plan up depending on who it is and the style of fighter and which way we think that we're going to be able to pick them apart and, you know, play chess out there, not checkers. Try to get out there and dominate and exploit their weaknesses as much as we can. So with Beltran, you know, it's the same as everyone else. We watch film, we see what they're doing, what they're used to doing, you know, and just try to exploit those when we're in there with him.
Nice. So when you got into BKFC, did you approach them or did they approach you?
I saw an ad on social media. I want to say it was Facebook, for the tryouts in Philly, and okay. You had to send in a fighter application. You know, with your fighter background, what you do, and be accepted and to be invited to the tryouts. And I sent all my stuff off, and Dave Feldman reached out and said, yeah, come on, Hillbilly, let's check it out. Come on out and see what you got. So we flew out to Philadelphia and did the tryouts and got a call the next day and said, hey, we want to get you going. So, and now at that time, they didn't have everything set up. It wasn't legal yet. So they went ahead and worked on it for probably 6 to 8 months to get it passed in Wyoming, and then he called me up and said, hey, we're going forward with it. You're in it. Let's go. It's going to be a tournament, you know, and then so we were full steam ahead after that.
Nice.
Yeah, I remember when BKFC first started out, I was really excited because of the bare knuckle aspect of it. And then I don't even think I actually got to see the first event. All I remember seeing is your ass hitting the opponent, and I was sold. I was like, this is what I'm about right here, so.
Yeah. You know, we hear that a lot. We hear that we we are very respectful and appreciative and humbled to be a part of the, you know, BKFC one. But I feel like we definitely played a part in helping launch it, you know, get it going and get it in front of people and people seeing that knockout. It was very incredible and just exciting.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that will actually keep them coming back. So that's a good way to lay out some foundation and a first-time impression. for some important over everything. So is that something that you aim for? I always ask the fighters, like, when, especially when they're a knockout and they're finishers, the artists, are you aiming for that? Do you sometimes want to go the distance just to see, like, how you're feeling? Like, some people I know want to play around and just, you know, keep it dragging out for their own personal benefits. Is that something that you want to always finish early, or do you like to go the distance too?
You know, I'd love to get in there and get knockouts as soon as possible, you know, to get in there and get out and get paid and be done. But, you know, unfortunately, don't always work that way. And we don't always go in and try to look for the knockouts. But if they come, you know, we're, you know, obviously very happy to do that, to please the fans. But as we have matured and moved on in the bare knuckle game, we know that that's what the fans want to see. They like seeing the sweet science and moving around and stuff and having people miss and hit them and things. But I think for the most part, they like to see the blood, the brutality, and they like seeing people get knocked out. So that's really what we shoot for and you know, try to achieve for the fans for sure every time.
Yeah, we got some jerk fan named Matthew Kohler asking about your first real street fight.
I'm sorry, what?
There's a jerk named Matthew Kohler asking about your first real street fight. We're supposed to ask you about that.
Oh gosh, I mean, how do you remember that one for sure? I was a little kid. You know, we grew up with a lot of brothers and male cousins, and all of us were athletes and very competitive. And every time we got together, you know, there was always a contest on who could whip who, or whether it be wrestling or fighting or whatever. So, you know, and I was raised, you know, my dad always told us, don't start a fight, but finish it. So I never really turned much of them down if they came my way. You know, I just took care of business when I needed to. You know, for the most part, I'm an easygoing guy and always have been, and like to get along with people and would rather keep it that way. But if somebody's going to come and, you know, try to put their will on me or bully me around, it don't usually end up very well for them.
I knew there was more to the story. Matthew's saying, we're talking about the 16-year-old road rage.
Road rage.
This guy know you very personally.
Yeah. It's his manager.
Yeah.
Oh. He's trying to go into a talk. I'm thinking Sam doesn't want to talk.
No, there's a story he's fishing for.
Well, I was 16 on my way to high school driving, and there was a 30-some-odd-year-old man tried to run us off the road and, you know, about had us get hit on in traffic heading to school. So I finally ended up getting around him, and we waved him over. He pulled over, and I gave him what he asked for.
Nice.
So I'm just curious, what is your plans with your beard? Is this going to get longer? Are you, like, braiding it?
That'd be kind of crazy. No, I'll probably trim it up a little bit before the fight. Make me look a little bit, you know, more official. But, yeah.
More GQ clean cut?
No, braid it up like a Viking.
Yeah, I was going to say, you keep getting all this Viking stuff. Is there going to be beads in it? Is there going to be braids? Like, what's going on?
I don't know. I don't know if it's long enough to braid or not. I think maybe eventually.
Some extensions right here, right there.
Right?
So sweet.
That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
You could tuck your mouth guard in there.
I know you don't want to look past Joey, but when you've got the belt in your hand, are you thinking about retirement at that point, or are you looking past it and thinking, who would I want to fight next?
You know, we got some fights left in us for sure. You know, God willing, we beat Beltran. You know, we'll fight Kleckler or Burns next. And then whoever else, you know, the top fighters they bring over. You know, we want to fight the best, you know, the best fighters out there. You know, we're going to have the title. We're going to be carrying it around. I don't want to pick and choose my opponents. I'll let BKFC pick them, bring them over, and we're going to knock them down and make some good money doing it and hopefully have fun, you know, and just you know, enjoy this whirlwind of a life that we're living right now at the top of the game, you know, and just enjoying it, embracing it, and, you know, trying to be the best that we can.
Nice.
And what are you walking around at right now, if I don't mind us asking?
Today I was 236 with my shoes and everything on, so.
Nice. That's what I was wondering. I saw someone there writing that you're 240. Is that something, do you feel a lot of weight difference fluctuation when it comes to your balance and such when it goes up and down in weight like that, or do you feel comfortable at 235, 240, or do you feel like you're really low and faster when you're dropping?
Yeah, I feel better, lighter on my feet around 230, 233, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. we've been implementing a little bit of lifting more into this camp. So we're kind of staying a little bit heavier, but we're feeling good. We're feeling great. We got another 5 weeks from this Friday till the fight. You know, we're going to be hitting it as hard as we can. And you're going to be seeing a Sam Shoemaker that you haven't seen yet. And I know people say that all the time, but yeah, nobody's seen what they're going to see come that night, come fight night. It's going to be fast. It's going to be hard. It's going to be brutal. And it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I think you guys are constantly evolving, and it's fun to watch the differences and everything that's coming about because it's such a baby of a show.
Yeah, for sure.
With that, all the fighters evolving with you.
Yeah.
I love asking about food because we love food. What's your favorite thing to eat right after that weigh-ins?
What's my favorite food?
Yeah, or even what's your favorite food to eat the day of? I have certain things I eat right before my fight, right after. Like, do you have a routine?
Usually I'll have a bunch of pasta the day before or day of the fight, you know, chicken pasta.
Yum. I love pasta and the carbs. Do you have anything fancy or fun that you eat like right before a fight?
Do I have anything weird? Fancy?
Yeah. Do you eat anything weird or sticks out there from normal people?
No, not really. You know, here in Missouri, we eat a lot of deer meat, you know, it's real lean.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Mm. Do you have any like rituals you do that kind of you feel like is like your good luck thing that you've been doing, it's been working, so you just keep doing it?
No.
No special pair of socks, no like regular routine.
No, I wash my jock strap, I wash my
don't wash the jock strap. Oh god. Your wife must be like, yes.
Right.
Yeah, hey, there's some guys out there that think that's their gold. That's their luck.
Yeah, no, not this guy.
That win and sweat.
Yeah.
That's why I love, yeah, we don't ask the most conventional questions on this show. We apologize.
Oh, it's great. I love it. No.
I'm really surprised. Yeah. I feel like I thought more athletes had this kind of like superstition on, like, I got to do this. It helps put me in the right mindset.
No, we just, know we're there to take care of business and it's time to work, you know, whether my socks are clean or I've worn them a couple times or what, you know, I mean, that don't matter to us. We just get in there and take care of business, you know.
Your wife is there an audience to you all the time or no?
Is there an audience?
No, your wife.
She goes to all the fights. Yeah, cool. I think she missed the initial bare knuckle in Wyoming, but other than that, she's been to all the other ones.
How she if you miss that, you probably go to all of them.
Yeah.
How does she feel about it?
You know, she worries, she gets nervous, but, you know, she knows I'm a big boy and knows what she got herself into when she married me. You know, I come from a family of athletes and ruffians and, she just knew it was a part of the course, you know, cause I was still fighting amateur when we first got together and then, you know, kind of took a step back from it, you know, once we had kids and, had a career and bought a house and all that good stuff. And then once we were in the place where we sat down and talked about it, she was very supportive. I mean, yeah, of course she worries, but she knows that, you know, what I'm capable of. And, you know, obviously she enjoys the paydays as well. So, you know, it's worth it.
So she kind of gotten less worried the more you've been doing this and doing well. It kind of makes you like, all right, like he doesn't get fucked up.
Right. Yeah.
Do your kids know daddy fights, or is that something you acclimate them to?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How many children do you have?
We have three boys.
Okay, are they all aware that you fight? Are they a part of your camp? Do they like to watch, or they kind of don't know?
Oh, they watch every single one. They'll watch them even the events that I'm not a part of. You know, we rent them and we watch them here at the house and have a big thing and get together and a cookout. And,
that's so cool.
It's really been a real big family event. You know, my brothers help coach me and train me. And, you know, I got a lot of close friends that come and we do training together. And it's just a big family deal. It's been great. My boys have been one of the biggest parts of it. They get out and they push me. We'll go out and do road work and they want to run with me, you know, and of course, being young like they are, they got great endurance. So they really push me well. And, you know, sometimes make me feel like I'm weak, but, it's fun. It's good. It's a good time. It's a good challenge.
That's good. That's fun.
That's really cool.
If you weren't fighting, what would you be doing?
Just working. You know, I work, own my own business doing stone masonry. So me and my brother and got a boy, we go out and we, you know, we build retaining walls, chimneys, sea walls, things like that. But right now with this fight camp going on, I'm not working at all. I'm just training hard. So.
Do you feel that helps you kind of like stay active outside of training? You know, you got a high labor job, you're lifting heavy things all the time. Kind of got a little bit more advantage of some of these guys that work at US Cellular, but they train all the time.
Yes, for sure. It definitely, I think it gives me an advantage. It definitely gives me, you know, my strength and endurance, you know, some of the things that the hills and things we got to do. I mean, it's not for the faint of heart. So it, it definitely helps with my training on top of, you know, going to the gym and things too.
Nice. Well, do you have any sponsors, fans, family members, teammates, anyone you want to give a shout out to, give some credit out, some love out to?
Yeah, for sure. You know, start with my family, my wife, my kids, you know, they pushed me and helped me from day one. My brothers, Mike, Jim, Joe, they've been there, you know, in the trenches and the ups and the downs, you know, the wins, the losses, everything in between. My sponsors, I got X Bar Fitness. They're one of my big sponsors. Matter of fact, look, I got one of the shirts on right now. Hell yeah. Bam. but, you know, it's, a great thing having X Bar on my side. They were able to help me out with, you know, with their training system that they have. And I can, you know, on nights where, or even in the mornings when I get up and I don't have time to go to the gym and do my thing, I can go work out right here at home, you know, conveniently. And, you know, it really pushes me and has taken my game to the next level, I feel like. Also, Tough Hombre Beards. They have a full line of beard products. And as a matter of fact, they're coming up and we're going to do a Hillbilly Hammer beard line. It's going to be, you know, beard wash, body wash, beard oil, wax, combs. It's going to be the whole nine yards. So we're excited to see that come out. You know, they're one of our big partners this time.
Is there a custom shoemaker scent?
Yeah, we've actually been sampling some of their newer scents that they're wanting to put out, and there is going to be a custom Hillbilly Hammer scent. You know, and we're pretty excited about that, so we'll have our own line. You guys will be able to order that from the Tough.
What does Hillbilly Hammer smell like?
Tell me
it's
woodsy. I love woodsy smell.
Is it pre-fight or post-fight?
Does it smell like Irish Spring?
Hey, it could have a little Irish Spring in it. That ain't no lie. But a little bit sweet, but definitely strong and, you know, very manly. I promise you.
All right.
We also got Versailles Total Fitness. That is a local gym from where I'm at here in Versailles, Missouri. They opened their doors to me. They're a 24-hour, you know, 7 days a week facility. You're able to go and train on at your convenience. They have all the top of the line machines and everything that you would need. They got heavy bags, double end bags, you know, a nice sauna. So it's nice to have that here locally where I can go and train whenever I want, you know, whenever my boxing gym and things like that aren't open or available. Also have Millstone Thunder. It's a facility down here where they have right on the water on the lake. If you're not familiar with the Lake of the Ozarks, we have more shoreline than the state of California. It's one of the number one recreational lakes in the United States. So it's a great time. You all should come out and visit. We'll have a great time. I'll show you around sometime if you're all ever out this way.
Whenever I say that, I'm going to take you up on it.
I'm only an hour and a half away, so watch it.
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
We can meet there.
Yeah. Plenty of rental houses here, you know, for Vrbo or for Airbnb and things like that. But no, it's a great place. And anyways, they have a good facility for housing boats. They have houses and cabins for rent. You know, you guys check them out, look them up online. We also have Captain Ron's Bar and Grill out here. It's another restaurant that's on the water. We have Frankie and Louie's. They're one of our big sponsors. We actually just shot a commercial down there the other day. Be looking for that on social media. It's going to be coming out. We had a good time with that. It was a lot of fun. It's a great family restaurant down on the water. They bring in sand every year and put it on the beach. And just it's just a really nice family-friendly place. You can pull up on your boat, park it in their dock, go in, have a good meal. They have good live bands, and it's just a real good family atmosphere. They have a playground for kids and stuff. It's really cool.
That sounds really cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good, fun place. The lake's a very neat place. You guys would have to check it out sometime for sure.
Yeah, I can bring my kids down. We can all Airbnb somewhere, guys. It sounds great.
Yeah, it's a great place. You guys would love it.
Allie just wants your deer meat.
Hey, there you go. That's it. Hey, we got plenty of
that. And I don't live that far from Missouri. This is an easy trip for me to go to.
I love deer jerky.
Yeah, we make some killer deer jerky for sure.
Well, and deer stuff, you can't just buy at the store. You have to know someone who hunts it that's going to give you some beer or some deer sticks.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, I'm from Kansas, so that's one thing I miss about Kansas.
Yeah, okay. You constantly throw Florida in her face. Look at that deer. Just looking at it.
Have you guys seen where people are now taking like deer heads and they're like dyeing the fur and they're painting the horns all cool and shit? Like that's now like a decor thing.
I've seen that. I have seen that.
Some of it looks really cool.
Yeah, I'd say I could do with that with some of them. I don't know if I'd do it with one like that.
No, in your prized ones.
You do it with the skull. That's actually selling a lot of money. People are carving up the skulls and decorating the skulls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Without the fur, that looks really cool too. And the ram's head. But, well, thank you, Sam, for your time. You're awesome. You're really sweet and down to earth. And everyone was blowing up on our side.
Yeah, you have so many fans.
Yeah. They're all talking about, you're so nice. Man, talk about street fights. You're so nice.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes we get some shit talking on here, and all these guys are like, he's such a great guy ever since high school.
Like high school reunion, you know, okay.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. It was a pleasure. And, you know, hit me up again. I'd love to come back on and we'll chat. For sure.
Yeah. Awesome. We'll love having guests back on.
Yeah, best of luck, and we'll be watching.
Hey,
Legend of BKFC.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Thank you,
guys.
He's so nice. He's like a big teddy bear.
I know.
The beard.
Okay, so wasn't Kevin Kroom also from Missouri, too?
Was he? Yeah, he's somewhere. But I don't know.
It must just be the environment. It makes nice fighters. I don't know.
It's the country boys, and it's the Midwest where everyone is super nice here, kind of.
We wave at everybody in a truck.
Yeah. From the Ozarks. Ozarks, I love those. I was so fascinated with the Ozarks when I first moved out here.
Oh, my God.
The closest thing to the mountains. And now there's nothing but cornfields. And I was like, oh, mountains. Not Arizona mountains, but big enough. Yeah. I mean, they're
one of my vacations was to the Ozarks, and it was probably one of my favorite vacations. So.
It's really pretty. But
is Okoboji around there too? Or is that somewhere else?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Maybe that's Iowa.
Could be. I'm not sure. Someone from Ozarks got to know. But if you guys, everyone's really surprised though when they come to Missouri how pretty it is out here, because it doesn't, you
wouldn't think of it.
And then you start hitting the hills and the mountains, and people don't realize what Missouri looks like. They think we're just normal Midwest, but it's a really, really, really beautiful place to drive through out here. It's not like the normal Midwest states.
So, like Iowa.
It's not flat. I think everyone thinks Missouri is just like Nebraska. I don't know what they're thinking, but it's beautiful. I love driving through Missouri.
I remember like 25, 30 years ago, my grandparents took me through a trip through the Ozark Mountains. And yes, it's very, very hilly. And my grandfather kept driving faster and faster and faster just to freak my grandma out. So, slow down.
Yeah, we have the roller coaster roads. And
yeah, but we had a fifth wheel.
There's a hidden waterfall out here. I don't want to name it so people don't look it up. It's hidden. So I don't want the country folk being all bothered by people, because I think people are finding out about it. But there's a nice, pretty waterfall out here. And I remember venturing back there. And there's cactus back there, too. So Missouri has cactus, and we have armadillos. And
oh, really?
A lot more south than we really are. But, like, it's really weird. And my dumb ass was like, oh, it's a cactus. Let me grab it. So I was so funny to see a cactus in the Midwest. Yeah, that went in my hat, but it was cool.
Yeah, we should get an Airbnb and we'll just have all of us come.
Yeah.
And then we'll get some of the five of us come out all at a party.
Yes. Those are would be fun for that. A lot of people go out there just to throw parties and have fun weekends and such.
Oh, yeah, we'll rent a pontoon.
Yeah, the lake is so fun.
Yeah, that's always something I take my kids to too.
Yeah, anything boat. We can get silly. So
paddle boat. Yeah.
So what's up next?
So do we have
as far as I don't know if Yuli's come on. He was gonna come on, but I don't think he's found out much more about the fight. So
So they didn't confirm?
I don't think they've confirmed anything. So
we want to wait till that's confirmed. So.
Yeah, hopefully once it's confirmed, I'll get him and whoever his opponent's gonna be on. And we'll just do whatever.
Can we get like a questionnaire from? Hold on. Thank you for the excellent interview.
Isn't that what you and David and Gabe did over in California?
Yeah, we went out to California for the Pancras stuff. So I think they're going to have an event here in. Florida. So it's the rumor. There's a rumor there's going to be an event here in Florida. And of course, I'll go to that. What's that?
This year.
So, supposedly. No, I don't think anything's been confirmed.
Do they just think that Florida is the only state people want to see fights or what? Like they just won't have them anywhere else?
Well, Florida's open. So
yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. And apparently we're all resistant to COVID because our infection rate is the same as New York and California, who is locked down. And we got more old people than both of them. So
yes, retirement state.
Yeah.
But you guys have been doing bath salts for years. Everyone's like immune system there has got to just be great. If that guy hasn't taken you guys out, then COVID's not going to.
If you can survive Florida, you ain't got shit on COVID.
They got gators, all that. Okay, so one thing, I was talking about King of the Hill with some friends at work, and I was thinking, you know, like how in fights, like some people, to help them breathe, they'll do the shah, shah, like they'll make the sounds. What if somebody made Dale sound that like whoosh, like the whole fight?
They what?
They sound like Dale from King of the Hill. I want to see that fight where the guy just go whoosh, whoosh.
No, but you could totally see what's happening or someone's about to. I mean, I make the noises just so I can breathe, but I try to make it look like you can telegraph.
Some people are so loud. I think that that's like part of their like technique is to be distracting. So they're like, ah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but then I can tell when they're about to throw something. That's why I'm like, I mean, I don't know if you do it. I don't think you made any noises.
I never got into the set. I'll make this noise a little bit, but like, yeah, I don't try and be too vocal, but I can see what you're talking about. If they keep doing that, you can tell when they're about to throw a punch. Cause they're like, ah.
Yeah, you definitely know if I'm doing anything in the gym because I'm really loud. It's really annoying. Like,
it probably helps, though. I've heard it helps because I've been dogged that I don't do it. It's like, you know, it like really helps you breathe. It really helps give that little extra kick when you make the sounds.
It does. Just feel like you're kind of extra. Like, look at this bitch. Think she's cool. No, I
didn't intimidate her with my screams.
Yeah, I hold my breath if I don't. That's my problem. So. Anyone want to sponsor me some hats? I always have really bad hair day. I'm just looking at Matt right now. Like, he has his hat. I have my hat. I always have bad hair days. So I don't want to take my hat off. So I'm wearing.
Well, so you are at work. So you probably, you know, were busy before you come on here.
Yeah. And I'm pulling my hair down. Usually just like stuck up here if I didn't put a hat on. Cause I had my hair like hairsprayed and tied back.
Matthew Kohler says that all those sound making things, that's actually a thing in traditional Taekwondo and karate.
Oh.
Yeah, and Muay Thai. So depending on, like, I can usually tell the person, like, what they've trained in depending on the noise that they're making.
Yeah.
Just like,
I kill. I kill.
I'm just going to be like, I kill you.
So. I just want to see someone fight that's got some, like, weird-ass exaggerated sound.
Or did you see the videos when they're all like,
Yes! And they dub over.
Like moaning sounds where they're doing weights and shit.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And so I was just like, I'm just going to be like a pervert. And the girl probably like,
That's one thing. I mean, I'm glad when I go to the gym, there's usually not that many people there. But I can't stand the guys like, like they're just like screaming. Then they like drop everything all the time. Like you could set it down.
Yeah, you can get kicked out of some gyms for that shit.
Yeah, and I'm glad.
Can you get kicked out for the moaning sounds?
I don't think so.
No.
That shit.
No.
Because like, what are they? Because we're like, that's my fight sound. Like that's me being animalistic. That's how I get brutal.
That's my fight.
This
sound.
Is the beast coming out.
I don't know, but all right. Well, good to know. Oh, Benicio's coming on. Oh, our new guest.
Oh, cameo appearance.
Oh, now he's going back to bed.
Oh.
I seen your dog almost threw up from his own stink.
Huh?
Wasn't that your dog that you put you had him carry his own poop and he almost threw up?
Oh, yeah. He's carrying his own bag of poop. Yeah.
Can you imagine, though, if you, like, had to carry around your own waist? Like, dude, fuck you.
Yeah, did you see that video? I love the guys. I follow that dog that makes that video noises because I love the way that owner talks. I love anything stupid like that. So, no.
Don't worry. I watch all your guys' videos you post because they're all funny.
Thank you. Yeah.
I wish I could be more into TikTok, but Karen's definitely got that down pat.
Yeah, but I don't know I don't know what to do. I don't know if it's Benicio.
You make like mixed clips. Are you kidding me?
I'm all weird shit. But I don't know. I can't concentrate. So I got more views from fighting, but I don't have a lot of fights. So
yeah, you need to post that shit on our page.
Yeah. They have those like reaction videos or like those duet ones where like someone says something and then like it clips back to you. Karen, you could do that stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna do some. I'll sit in this closet and do some more TikToks for you.
There you go.
So, all right.
Well, everybody, I think we'll hopefully Yuli will know what's happening next week and we'll have him back on. But I don't know if you guys have anything you want to mention? Last word?
I mean, this is pretty cool. I definitely like talking to Sam. He's definitely a good person to have on. And I like having fighters that are, you know, good people.
He seems like he's really excellent people.
Yeah.
I still want food suggestions from people. Or can we?
We have a next challenge.
I forgot to ask them
what their favorite food is or like what their scariest hate of food is, and we can have that one. We can all eat this same shit. I don't know.
I forgot to ask Sam if he wanted to do the fire or Toad Satan challenge.
Maybe he would.
Yeah, figure out a.
He seems real tough.
That or something nasty, like I said. Or maybe we can just, like I said, eat something. Like if that's their weight cut food or after weigh-ins, right before the fight food, that'd be cool.
I got two sandwiches here I'm going to eat.
Oh, yeah? You can send that here? No.
You can film yourself eating those. That's a thing for some people. That could create some more views. I don't know. Just get real sloppy with it.
Because there's two types of girls.
What?
Oh!
I didn't hear it.
Oh, it's a meme of a sandwich, and one of them's open. One of them's got the deli hanging out.
I got it.
Hold on.
Don't.
Should I put it on here?
You can. Yeah. Why not? So, I mean, you mentioned it. You got to post it.
All right.
Are you going to attack the lady parts right now?
Yeah.
Is it attacking?
Hey. Shout out to all the ladies with the deli sandwich on my left or your right.
They're all edible, regardless. They're all edible.
They're all edible.
You can eat either one.
Not beautiful. You went straight to edible.
With or without mayo.
With or without mayo.
Oh shit. Okay. All right, guys. We'll end on that note. They're all edible.
But no one should eat a dry sandwich, just saying.
All right. You guys are nasty.
It was a good show.
It was.
We got one person laughing their ass off, so that's good.
Good. Thank God.
It's not just us.
Where would we be if no one heard that shit?
All right. All right. Well, I'll see you all next week.
Yep. Peace out, y'all.
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.